This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
You're listening to an Irreverent Media podcast. Go to irreverent.fm to get more content from our phenomenal, fantastic friends. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Tiny Revolution, a podcast allegedly about ordinary people living revolutionary lives and coming out semi-regularly. Let me tell you what, there's a couple of things I know about myself, and it is I can only move as fast as I can move. And I used to really beat myself up about that. But I am somebody who, you might know, struggles with anxiety and depression. You know, shout out to my trauma for that one. And there are days when my brain just will not work. Like something in me is just tired. And rather than pushing through like I used to do, like in college when my body was telling me, I don't got it. And my brain would say, yes, you do. You have to. We have to survive. That is what I forced myself to do in college. I overfunctioned. And what I'm recognizing now is, especially, you know, as we are now moving into a second year of a pandemic and our lives are still different, we're still figuring out how to be together, if we can be together, how we should be together when we are together. It's a whole big shitstorm still. I'm recognizing that I have a decreased capacity right now to perform all the things that, according to the job description that I created for myself, I'm not getting them done as fast as I want them to. And part of it's depression, part of it's distraction, but also, you know, there really isn't a good reason besides I'm just tired. And what I recognized about myself yesterday is that rather than beating myself up for it, I was just like, all right, what does my body need? What do you need, body? And so I just stopped and I listened. And as I was allowing myself to just listen, my body was just like, I just need to rest. I just need to rest. And then I went through and just like, okay, so why are we tired? We're getting enough sleep. We're doing all these things. And I was like, well, you also just started like a new kind of workout thing that you've been going really hard on. And these legs, they're done. We can't do it. And I just said, okay, fine. We can't do it right now. And what would it be like for me to not guilt myself into it? And as per usual, when I allowed myself to rest, I am now back at it. I woke up today just feeling so much motivation and drive and energy and desire to do the thing. And so here I am sitting down at my desk doing it when I can do it, because this is when I can do it. Here I am. So all that to say is that if you're out there and you are someone who is a doer like me, maybe you're an online creative, or maybe you're just a normal person who has like responsibilities and duties and you're struggling to get them done, even though there's quote unquote nothing wrong, it's okay. As Miley Cyrus / Hannah Montana said one time, everybody has those days, baby. I was going to say everybody makes mistakes, but I've never made a mistake because it's almost Scorpio season and we don't make mistakes. Okay. With that out of the way, I guess a couple of little announcements before I introduce the guest today, my guest of honor, a new internet friend, Stacey Chomiak, who is the author of the new illustrated memoir, Still Stace, a gay Christian coming of age story. It's an illustrated memoir. And I think it might be like, I've never heard of an illustrated memoir aimed at like teens and young adults. It definitely falls like more into like they're saying like it's aimed at teens, but at the same time, let me tell you what, as a lover of children's books, as someone who's trying to work on a children's book now, this is just delicious. Let me tell you what. So all that to say is we're gonna have some fun today, and I hope not only can you listen to the podcast now, but you can actually go to my YouTube channel and watch the conversation between me and Stacey, as well as if you are hard of hearing and you want to get the subtitles, those are available there too. So check that out if that feels appealing to you. The announcements are, I think for my own mental health and for the sake of regularity, I'm going to be going every other week on A Tiny Revolution, allowing myself a little bit more space to pour into the cohort, which just started this past Wednesday, and it was so amazing. I'm taking 21 people through a process of learning how to get back in touch with the body, learning how to hear their inner voice, their true voice, the voice of God, the voice of spirit within them. And I'm also like trying to work with them to help undo a lot of the bullshit that maybe they learned along the way. So, you know, if you wouldn't mind, if you're someone who lights candles or prays or whatever, like send us some vibes, because I really feel good about this group, and I really feel, I don't know, just so much love for them already. So if you're one of those people and you're listening, I love you. So that's one announcement. We're going bi-weekly, cohort started. If you are interested and you want to still talk about possibly participating in the future, the waitlist is starting now, baby. So you can do that by, you can sign up for a discovery call with me, and we can go ahead and talk about it. And then maybe even like we can get you signed up and started in the springtime, because we are going to be doing the cohort in the spring, probably starting into February. So just like check your calendars if you want to do it. It's not, you know, but I'm just thrilled. So you can do that, or you can also just sign up for my newsletter at thekevingarcia.com/subscribe. As per usual, Patreon community is popping off. We're actually going to be gathering as a community at the Crowded Table on the 23rd, that is tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out on Friday. And that's going to be on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram Live, if they'll ever let me back on. But I'm currently banned from doing lives because I said the word, I said faggot on the internet. Okay, I said it, and I don't regret anything. But that's another discussion for another time, right? All right. Getting into it, let me pull up Stacey's bio real quick. And the reason I wanted to pull up her stuff is because the credits, baby, are just delicious. Stacey lives in Chilliwack, British Columbia in Canada, works over in Vancouver, and has been paid to draw and color children's cartoons since 2011. Recently, she started illustrating and writing kids' books, and it's become her new passion. And when not drawing, she is hiking around British Columbia, biking, yogging, as they say, staying up late, sharing cups of really strong coffee. She also loves having conversations about faith and queer issues, classic Hitchcock films, Tim Hortons, and a bunch of other lovely things. And in this conversation, we really get into the nuts and bolts of like why this project was so important to her, and also like why it's still important even now to continue to tell queer faith stories, especially, you know, if you're like you and me and you're listening to this, you're likely coming from some sort of Christian background. So telling queer Christian stories is still important. Even though on the days when I don't want to call myself a Christian, I haven't been calling myself a Christian lately, but sometimes I wonder, you know, if it quacks like a duck. And you'll see me kind of getting into this in the conversation. So please grab a cup of whatever feels delicious to you, and let's enjoy this conversation with my new internet friend and hopefully collaborator, Stacey Chomiak. I am so pleased to be with you. And also just like, we don't have to start the interview like straight off the bat.
Yeah,
how are you feeling today? You doing okay?
Yeah, good. Wednesdays are busy for work-wise. It's our present to DreamWorks day. So that's done. So this is like, I was looking forward to this after, the serious meeting. So I've been excited. How are you?
Good. I feel good. I've had a really lovely day. I was going to have a 7:30 call and then they canceled. And I'm just like, so I already cracked open a Truly because I'm just like, nice. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, girls.
Oh yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm truly having a great day. Oh, also, awesome. Can you tell me how to pronounce your last name?
Yes. It's Ukrainian. Chomiak.
Chomiak. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Stacey Chomiak.
Yeah, that's right. Got it.
I'm so like, I kept seeing your book pop up over around Instagram and it said, a gay Christian coming of age story, mm-hmm. but it's illustrated. And I was like, mm-hmm. okay, here's something that's actually never been done before. Yeah. Never seen it. And also I have been just so into the idea of children's books lately because of the way that like, of course, like a good children's author is actually writing for the parent.
Totally.
And I just feel like I'm excited to get your book because I think it's going to hit all those things. But before we dive into that, would you please tell people, how do you introduce yourself at parties or at any sort of social function you might find yourself at? If you find yourself at social functions.
Yeah, well, this last year and a half has been a lot less social functions.
But... So imagine a world where it feels very, very safe and good to be at a social function.
Yeah, oh my word. I hope that comes again. Yeah, I look forward to that. This is an ever-evolving thing. I guess I would say... Like I'm an animation artist and new author, illustrator, and mom, of course, of two kids and wife, and then friend, I guess would be the last one. But yeah, that's sort of the nutshell of list of titles.
Yeah. And when you say animation, do you mean like computer animation or just hand drawn? Like what kind of animation you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. We do, it's hand drawn, but it's on the computer. So we use these, I don't know if you can see that, but there's a screen behind me that's called a Cintiq, which is like a big iPad essentially.
Nice.
And so we draw stuff on the computer. So I've been working on like preschool shows for like Netflix and DreamWorks for like 10 years. So yeah, lots of drawing for kids.
Yeah. So like, look up this girl on IMDb, y'all.
Yeah.
And also like you, like the thing that got my, like that like connects us is like, gay Christian coming of age story. I'm just like animated form. Like, I want to know, like, if you know, you can spoil as much as you want, but like, what's your deal, Stace? Like, how did you end up writing your story in an illustrated format?
Yeah, that is a great question. Well, initially the whole idea from it came, actually I was in therapy and they were, you know, as a lot of us gay Christians, we have a long history of going to therapy.
A long history.
We all need it. Right?
History. When it has current status current, for me.
Current history and continued. Me too.
Yeah.
And I had been wanting to do like an animated short of coming out, and it never really materialized. So I was sitting in a therapy session and that we were doing the exercise where you were talking to your younger self in those moments where it's like super painful. And just in that moment, I was like, oh shoot, I should write a book, like a kid's book. And like talking to my younger self and sort of helping myself heal. I just thought that would be a really great like format because I've been wanting to sort of transition into books from animation. And obviously it just seems easier than doing a million drawings for animation. Just doing a few illustrations for a book has seemed more manageable and more accessible too.
Probably.
So yeah. So, and something for my kids that they could actually see. So I initially thought, oh, this will be a great picture book. I'll just like Cole's notes my 14 year journey and that'll be fine. So I just started writing the manuscript and I did like a couple concept sketches and then I thought, oh man, if I want this to go anywhere, I probably need an agent, which I didn't have. So I just Googled like queer agents, like looking for queer kids book ideas, and sent out an email, and like the next day I got a couple emails like, oh, we're really interested, can you talk on the phone, which is really quick. I heard it takes a long time.
Oh yeah, because Lord knows Like, I know so many of my friends out here, I'm just like, I've never heard back from an agent ever. So it's just like,
I know.
It really is like, it's one of those like gold, like sometimes you strike lightning. Like,
I know.
It's nobody's fault except the universe, maybe.
I get, yeah. And I always feel bad because it's such a ridiculously non-ideal story. Because to, you know, like literally the next day, and I had two offers from agents. And so I chose one who was queer themselves and just really loved the story. And so they helped me develop it into like more of a manuscript, more of a lengthy one. I still had it like as a picture book idea, but they were like, you know, I really see this more of a graphic novel. And I was like, that's scary.
Because yeah, especially like, graphic novel has like a whole different concept to it.
It does. And that to me said like, oh, you have to expand a lot more. Because it was, I think at the time it was like 1200 words. I was like, oh man, that's, yeah. And so they were like, don't worry, you know, we'll get there if we get there. And anyway, it did kind of develop and it went through some editors and some of the feedback was like, this is a great idea, but we should try and target it for teens and it should be, there should be more. Mm-hmm. So we sort of kept developing it. And in the meantime, I did get a deal to illustrate a picture book called Rainbow Boy. Mm. Oh, I have it here. It's right here. Rainbow Boy.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's like, so cute.
It's so cute. It is super cute. It's a really cute story. I didn't write it, but it's a really cute story of like a boy who loves like putting on his tutu and playing with mm-hmm. dolls, but also plays with basketballs. And so mm-hmm. this publisher really wanted an LGBTQ illustrator. So I started working on that. And at the same time, the editor, I guess, noticed my concept art on my website at the time, my story was called Dear Younger Gay Me. Mm-hmm. And so she said, oh, do you guys have a publisher for this book? And so my agent and I submitted it to them. And that's how we got the book deal for Still Stays. Mm. So,
Liz, I love, yes, good.
Crazy, right? You can't plan that kind of stuff. It just happens.
Sometimes magic happens. Like, that's the thing. It's like, the way that someone was putting it, it's just like, preparation plus opportunity equals luck.
Yeah, I've heard that too. That's so accurate.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because also it's like yeah, of course it happened at that time. You were ready.
That's true. It's so, true. Like,
so I love that. I think that's brilliant. And so your story of Still Stays, you are talking to your younger self, and basically, you know, without giving it all away, you know, what did she need to know?
I think the whole sort of seed of it was that I wrestled sort of with my faith and sexuality for about 13 mm-hmm. years. And
there was still identify as a Christian right now?
Yeah, I do. I know it's contentious and that's...
No. I live for anyone who identifies as anything.
I know. It's getting harder and harder, let me tell you. But
ooh,
you hear me? It's tricky, but I'm still sort of, I like it because it opens up conversations, because either the Christian community is like, what, gay? Or the gay community is like, what, Christian? And I totally get both, mm-hmm. but I just like it as a conversation starter. So yes, I still do. And it can be tricky for sure, but I'm trying to remember what my initial train of thought was on that.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I think we were talking about, what did your younger self. What were you going to tell her?
Well, I mean, the whole time I struggled, I would, you know, it was pre-internet when I started. And then when the internet came, I would Google like gay Christian, and they just didn't exist. I mean, the first gay Christian I ever heard of was Justin Lee from mm-hmm. the Gay Christian Network. And that was like 2010, right when I finally was coming out. And so for the whole time I was like, there's no gay Christians that I can like talk to. Is all ex-gay people or straight Christians. Right. And like, those are two totally different.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Because I was in the ex-gay world for a long, long time.
How long were you in that for?
So my dad outed me to my mom when I was like 13. So that was probably 2004, 2005. Oh, and man. I was in ex-gay something or others for about 12 years. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, I that's a long time.
Heyday. Heydays.
Oh, yeah. I was in it around, I think it was 2003. I went to like one of their annual conferences in California. And yeah, that was trippy, man. Like,
it was like, it was talk about like, just like a flood of weird emotions.
Yeah.
Just of like, okay, I'm being seen for the first time, but also we could see, but don't ever touch.
Exactly. Oh man, I just felt like I kind of hate this word, but it felt so appropriate when I was there. Like I felt spiritual warfare being there, because previously I'd only been to like really evangelical Christian conferences. And this was like the first time that it felt like that, but everybody was just talking about being gay and then struggling.
Let me tell you what, I don't think you're far off. Like if I'm going to be like the woo girl that I am, I'm just like, there was a spiritual warfare. The Holy Ghost was trying to protect all y'all, saying this is bad. Don't believe this. Your body is like getting scared because it's like, we're not safe here. We're not safe here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there was some spiritual warfare. It just looked like you had the Stockholm syndrome. We all had Stockholm syndrome.
Totally. It was so, and I was just like this naive, like vanilla Canadian girl coming in being like, hey, you know, not expecting, like I had kissed a guy and a girl that throughout those like couple days. And it was just mentally just crazy. So, I mean, it was important, I think, to go through, but yeah, that was messy though. All the X stuff and X gay stuff.
Yeah. Because like, and then like once you, like, I think I was lucky because I found myself at the Reformation Project for my first conference ever. Yeah. And I found it because I matched with a guy on Tinder who invited me.
No way. That's amazing.
And then that man turned out to be a guy named Brett Trapp, who would go on to write this really great blog called Blue Babies Pink. And
amazing. Yeah.
So then I got to go to his wedding a couple years later, and I was just like, this is good shit.
Amazing. Totally.
So it's just like, you know, sometimes like it's so wild, like how like once like you said, at least for me, I noticed as I started like my coming out journey, like the more I started even entertaining the idea that God was okay with this, like that was like a shifting point for me. That's like, maybe God isn't as angry or as mean as I've been told.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what I kept going around and around, was like, what I've been told and what I feel are like two different things. But I was just such a perfectionist, like, you know, evangelical good girl. I just couldn't, you know, give into this, like, you know, the largest of sins, if you will. Sort of my upbringing. Mm-hmm. That's what all my church teaching was like, this is the worst thing. So, you know, you definitely can't give into it. You just keep fighting against it. So.
Yeah. And your family, were they also evangelical too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I grew up in sort of a longish line of, like, you know, middle-class evangelical family, going to like a larger church in Winnipeg, Canada, and where my mom had grown up in. And so it was, I mean, and I loved it. It wasn't like I hated going or anything. Mm-hmm. I was like totally immersed and like, didn't really know any differently. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. My friends are here. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's here. But then when I started struggling, like in my teens, I was like, oh, now I don't fit anymore. What's happening?
Oh God, I know that. Yeah. I remember like when I went to my first Exodus conference and they explained how like the psychology of why you are gay.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God, everything makes sense now.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm just like, I didn't like, of course, like I'm like 14, 15 years old. So like, I don't know shit about actual psychology.
Exactly. I know. We're just looking for answers, right? It just,
So eventually, like, you know, not to, you know, spoiler alert, but you said like, you know, you're married, have children's and, what's the, you know, what's your love story? You know, how'd you meet Bae and how'd you end up so gay?
That's a double question. Well, a lot of that is in the book, and it's tumultuous, if you will. But we met at youth group, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
I love the youth group to gay spouse pipeline.
Yes, totally, exactly. And it's not told enough. And that's also why I kind of love my story for teens, because there are a lot of stories that don't have happy endings when there's like faith involved. So I think it's good when there are actually stories that have happy endings. So, we met and we were just friends, and Tam's my wife now, she didn't know she was gay. Mm-hmm. And I was really closeted and had just got out of like a really closeted relationship with someone else at the youth group. And so we were just friends.
Oh, that's so, like, those early closeted things are so hard.
I know.
It's like, This, I mean, you want to talk about spiritual warfare, baby. Good yes. God.
Yeah, and like the angst and like, yeah, I did talk more about my sort of first relationship in the book, which I think is really important because there are so many like, yeah, those early relationships where they're hard enough, like when you're angsty and teen and like trying to figure out your body and your life, but then you're also closeted and like,
you feel bad about feeling anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sort of this cluster of messes. And so I was like, yeah, I'm sure I'll talk about that more because everyone enjoys that because they can understand those feelings. So mm-hmm. yeah. So yeah. So Tams and I were just friends for a year, and like at the end of the year ish, I kind of told her like, you know what? Like you feel like a safe Christian. So I'll tell you, like, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with same-sex attraction as, you know.
SSA, baby.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even say it out loud. We should just shorten it.
Totally. It's too shameful.
It's like he has SSA.
Totally. It's like a disease for sure.
Ugh.
So, yeah. So I told her, and she was like, oh, you know, I'll totally support you. Like, you know, that must be really hard. And then I was like, I think I need to go to this Exodus conference that's going to help me, you know, with my struggle. And so I went, again, this is a spoiler, but whatever. I went to the Exodus conference, and while I was away, Tams like realized that she fell in love with me.
Dang.
And she's like, what am I going to do? I'm like her only Christian support in trying to be straight. And now I have to tell her that I have feelings for her and I'm going to make her stumble. So
listen, drama.
Exactly. Yeah, we all love the drama. So I came back to Exodus and I told her like what happened, drama. I kissed this person, kissed that person, and then she was like, yeah, I have to tell you something. So she was honest with me, and then from there we kind of started a mm-hmm. very tumultuous, like 7-year kind of half closeted, mostly closeted relationship.
Wow, you better do that whole Jacob and Laban bit, you know.
Totally.
Sorry. That's the kind of like evangelical I grew up. It's just I see it. This was like 7 years. Oh yeah, you worked for it.
Totally. You did. It's true. It's true.
Labor.
Oh boy. It's so true. It's so true. Yes. Crazy.
But long worth story. It.
But yeah. Worth it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I had to be sure that I like felt peace about who I was before really committing. Cause I just knew otherwise it would just go on and on and on. And I would just, it would just be a mess.
Oh, so. Man. If I could put that on like any sort of like coming out advice for anyone, is like just really like try to get okay with you first before you bring anybody else into the mix. Because, oh, man, alive. It's just like it feels delicious and wonderful. And I think you should absolutely enjoy that and just let yourself hold it loosely because mm-hmm. you're growing and you're
absolutely. Ugh, oh, that is, yes, preach. That is so, and it's, yeah, it's so, it's tough, right? Because you're also learning and growing, and it was just really confusing and figuring out how I felt about it and how we felt about it. And yeah, it's an always evolving thing, but definitely it felt amazing to sort of say like, okay, this is definitely me. Now we can move forward to that next step. Luckily she was still around. So
yeah. I love that. Yeah. And then I'm also just curious about just like the work that you've done before, because you said that you've done like been in animation working on kids shows and whatnot forever. How did you find yourself in that world? Because my brother used to work in Hollywood for different studios on like Transformers and all those big shows or all those big movies and shit.
Oh, cool.
So I'm always just curious. I'm just like, animators are like, y'all find yourself. How did you get there? Because it's always interesting. Because usually it's like, I was working at Chick-fil-A for about 5 years until somebody had a contract for me.
Right, exactly. It doesn't happen that way. No, and that's kind of a thread in the book too, which is why it's cool that the art part of it could sort of be explained. But I mean, I just always loved drawing and I always loved animation, like I think from kindergarten. And I just always knew I had to work in that industry somehow if I could. So I did go to school for 4 years to get an animation degree, and then just decided to move to near Vancouver, BC, where we're living now. And after we got engaged, moved here, and then had my degree and then started applying at places. And that was 2011 when I started working in this industry. So yeah, it's been just, you know, I can't complain. I just draw for kids all day and get paid for it. So
that's so dope.
Yeah, and it's cool.
So when, as you were like developing, I'm curious, like for you, what came first? I think you already said that, like the main, like did the words come first or did the illustration, like the images come first for you?
For my book?
Or did it all just come at once?
Yeah, that's a good question, because in every project I'd done previously, which was like animation or I mean, you know, sort of illustration based, I think when I was sitting in that initial like session with my therapist, like I think the visual came first, and I saw myself like sitting on my bed, like surrounded by all the different Bible translations that I had, like just looking up the word homosexuality in all the different Bibles. And I just thought like, oh, that's a good illustration. And yeah, that was the first thing that came to me.
As soon as you said that, I'm just like, I did that.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, I gotta see, what do they all say?
Exactly. Like, we all did that in every, like, maybe the message is different because it's more current. Maybe it'll be like, it'll say that it's okay.
Yeah, it's like, and that's like where they really don't teach you is like, none of these English translations even come close sometimes. And like, and also like, I don't think, at least for me, like I never was taught beyond, like, you know, I was like, something that like I learned in college was like, you need primary sources, right? Mm-hmm. And I never like questioned like, what are the sources that I have in this Bible? Where did this come from? How did we get this? And we were never taught how we actually got the Bible. We just had it.
That's true. You know,
we never taught how like the church came to be what it is. We just knew it was always this way.
That's totally true. I know. And when you're like 16, 17, and you're not, you know, I'm not studying the Bible. I went to public school, but at church, they're saying like, you know, all of life's answers are in here. Anything you need to know, like they're in here. And so I'm like, well, this obviously has got to be in here too. I'll just keep looking at all the different translations. But so that came first. I think there's a couple of illustrations that I did. And then kind of I wrote sort of that story from there.
Mm. I'm curious for you, as you were working like in your own personal, like what was the, when you were working in your life through the question of like, is this okay for me to be gay and Christian?
Mm-hmm.
What was the thing that finally convinced you that was like, this is right. This is okay. Like, I know that I'm loved, and this is not only good, but holy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that everybody wants to know for sure. Cause it's the toughest thing. And I think it can be, and usually is, something different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was so focused on trying to figure out like the translation of those clobber verses that everyone says, like, well, yeah, I want to support you. I want to believe you. I want to encourage you, but it says it here, you know, it's black and white. And so I would keep coming back to that. But at the end of my sort of 13 years, I sort of realized like, I feel like I have a relationship with Jesus or God, whoever it is. And I've been asking everybody else, like Christians, what they think of it. But I've never actually asked like, Jesus, what do you think of this?
Hello.
Yes. And sort of like in my mind, or actually I did on paper, like list the aspects of my relationship with Tams that were good and like reflective of like a sort of Christ-like relationship, and thinking like, what is it about this that he wouldn't want for me, or that I wouldn't want for me? If it was a guy with all these things, I would of course be jumping up and down. And I basically sort of said, like, ask God into this relationship, like instead of asking everybody else. I was like, maybe I have to ask God into this. And it's crazy. And it's, I mean, it's, there's no other way to describe it.
Is it crazy, or is it absolutely the thing that happened?
Yes, it exactly was. And what happened too is like in those 13 years, I seriously felt like anxiety and chaos in my body. And after asking that question, I literally felt peace like coming to my body.
Come on.
Yeah.
The peace that passeth understanding.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And so for me, it wasn't like I got theological answers, but the peace that I was given that day and that still remains in that place is what I belong to.
Mm. Yeah. That gave me the goosebumps.
Yeah.
Cause that's it. Something Candace Zubernat, she is a queer lesbian therapist out in California. She runs the Christian Closet.
Her. Yeah.
Oh, what a babe, what a doll. She said, like in an interview we did one time, she was like, what was the thing that brought me to Jesus in the first place? Was it not just this feeling of being held, this feeling of like this same feeling that I experience when I allow myself to believe that God loves me unconditionally?
Yeah.
Like that's what I felt. And it was the same, like when you were saying that, like a peace came over me and I physically felt it. I'm just like, here's the deal is like that where the spirit of the Lord is, there exactly. is what? There's liberation. There is freedom. There is release. There Absolutely. Is a lightness to it. Mm-hmm. There's the lifting of burdens. Mm-hmm. And there is the fullness of joy. Mm. And every time I tried to fight against that, this peace, all I felt was terrible. Mm-hmm. But then I just suddenly let go of like this thing. And all of a sudden I had room for all this other shit.
Totally.
All this other goodness.
Ugh. Totally. Exactly. That is exactly it. And it was almost like I felt like God turning toward me. And like, you know, I felt like he was sort of pursuing mm-hmm. me that whole time. And then I finally turned around and was like, oh yeah, you've been here the whole time and you've been okay with it. I just haven't been because everyone else told mm-hmm. me I shouldn't be. And So, I mean, still from there, go ahead.
I was like, I had like the vision I had, it was just like, God is just like, oh yeah, you fine. Yeah, you're fine. Okay.
Exactly.
What do you want? And so we're over here all freaking out. He's like, what? He's like, it's fine.
Yes.
Like, what do you want to eat for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. But like that kind of release of just like, it feels like both like a delightful embarrassment. I'm just like, huh. Mm,
totally.
And then just like, ugh,
I
like it.
Yeah.
Wow, I have emotions in my eyes now.
And it is like, I mean, it is spirituality.
Yes.
You know, when we're like, we learn these things that are like written down on paper and we sing these songs and we get together. But what is the spirit of the Lord like saying to your body, mm-hmm. saying to your soul, that those are things that can't be explained. And
yes.
that is what I sit on. And there's still obviously people in my life, family that don't agree, but at least I operate from that place of peace. And I'm like, it's okay if you don't agree. That's not going to change the way that I feel, because that's a gift to me.
Yeah. And it's also like, I don't need you to agree with me for me to be happy. And I don't need you to believe the same things as I do to be happy. But it's very apparent that you need me to believe the same way you need to be happy. And that's very upsetting for you, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's that is a tough, tough thing. It's a tough thing.
Yeah. If you were like, I don't know, I work sometimes with this lovely youth group called Beloved Arise. So if you're listening to this and you're a queer youth out there.
Yes, I think I follow them. I love that.
It's a queer youth group that meets online. They have multiple meetings a week. So whatever your time zone, even overseas, they actually have like an international group.
Amazing.
So it's like people in like Italy and Africa and Southeast Asia.
Amazing.
And I'm like, I cannot wait for this thing to just continue to blossom into a global ministry and be the queer young life.
Yes, you know? Yes. Oh man, I love that.
But I just like every time I talk to them, I'm just like, I'm always sharing just like a little portion of like where I was at their age. And I'm just like,
oh yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, for so many of those people, they're just like, it's like this is the only space I have.
Yeah.
To be myself. And like that for me, just like, I don't know. So it's like, that's why I'm excited about this book. I'm excited about, again, like there's never enough resources.
Yeah.
You know, there's never enough like healthy stories of queer spiritual folks.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I remember the first time I went to like a GCN conference or Gay Christian Network, which is now QCF.
Right.
But the first time I went, it was like, it was mind blowing because it, you know, again, my only experience was like, like straight Christian evangelical conferences and then ex-gay conference and then GCN, which I just remember we were rushing from the airport. It was in Orlando, I think 2010. And we like opened the door to like the main room and they're already into worship. And I was like almost knocked over with like the feeling of like God's presence in that space. And it was just, yes, it was like, oh, it was so unbelievable. And the first thought I had was, I just wish like my family or people that don't believe that like gay Christians can exist would just come in this space. And you can't deny that feeling of like God's presence being there.
That's exactly it. And that to me, like, I mean, like, that's the thing about it is that like so many people's experiences of God are all about like this head knowledge. And then like, I did the right thing. I was supposed to, like, I did the right thing and I still ended up in this shitty place and I'm mad at God. And I'm just like, yes, it's like, I understand. And I get that you're angry with God. And I also want to tell you that it perhaps there is another experience that you could have, because I don't know who we were, I don't know who we were following before, but like, I'm just saying that like, maybe, maybe there's a different way to try and experience God. I'm not going to say that it wasn't God. You were doing your best, but I'm the same way. When I walked into the GCN conference for my first time, I think was fall 2015 was my first conference.
Yeah.
I walked in that space and I was still like coming out of Pentecostal world, and I could be as Pentecostal as I needed to be.
Right.
And, and then it's just like being able to like, it was like, I'm in my body and I'm unashamed. Mm-hmm. And that to me was just like the coolest thing ever was just like, I can just be silly and goofy and learn. And like, I went to everything I could. I was like soaking it up.
Me too. I was just like floating the whole time, just like meeting people and just connecting and just feeling, just feeling like a new level of freedom that I didn't know existed by being, it's like feeding off of everyone's vibrations of just feeling like you knew you were beloved in that space.
Yeah. You know? And like, one thing I love, there's A Course in Miracles says like an idea becomes stronger when it's shared. And that's why I think gathering in spaces like conferences and, you know, why I think also for me, I don't call myself a Christian, but I still lead worship at a queer, trans, Black led Baptist church. So like riddle me that.
Amazing. I love it.
Speaking of, I need to go like make the worship document for Sunday because, amazing. I usually forget to do that. Don't text me, Darcy. I will do it. Okay. There's something about coming together and collectively affirming like our humanity that, hey, some of us are struggling in this place. Some of us feel really good right now and are thankful. Some of us don't have no money to pay our bills. Some of us have more than enough.
Yeah.
And we're going to take care of each other because that's what we do as a community. And we're going to hold space for it all. And also, you know, at least for our community, I feel like the touchstone is like, we, even if we don't hold the Bible as like this prime, you know, biblical, what is it, basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Even if we don't do it that way, like we still are, we hold it as a touchstone and like, you know, like look at it in radical new ways.
Yeah.
And I feel like we come together, we share these ideas. And so like when I get to preach, like my number one whole point of any sermon is like, you have access to God's presence. And then we practice that together. Like, you know, we practice meditation together. We practice silence together. And I'm like, a lot of time, like, at least in my experience so far, is that there's a lot of people, queer and straight, just anyone who's like in the deconstructed world, or like questioning faith, where they think that spirituality is still limited to what we left behind. And really, I'm just like, it's bigger and more delicious. And just like, they're like you and I feel like we were talking about, like, we had this experience of peace. Yes. This, and I would say that peace is God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry for that long ramble.
But no, not at all.
We have an experience, and like, that experience when shared, when one says you are not only able to have this, but you're entitled to this, and not just few and far between at conferences or at worship sets, but every breath and every moment.
Love it. Entitled. And that was like a new thing for me too. Like, not, you know, not that, God accepts this, but God celebrates this, and that you're celebrating. This is like a beautifully original and new part of yourself that you can actually, you can celebrate it. And how does it help you view the world, view art and view people and view your faith? And how does it enrich it instead of sort of hiding it and trying to cover it up and camouflage it so that people are comfortable with it, right?
Oh my God. You will never, I think coming out for me taught me that, like, wow, like, I know that I was a lot before, but I did not know how small I was playing.
Yeah, I mean, I love your posts, like just all the stuff that you, like all the different ways you express yourself. And like, I mean, I think it's beautiful. And that's, I think everybody needs to, how do they express themselves and embrace that and say, this is like part of me. This is all parts of me that I can feel like I can be free to express. And it is all beautiful. And, you know, instead of just like, you know, holding ourselves tight and trying to not take up space in the world. And, you know, like we're taught, I think, in the Christian community sometimes.
I wanted to share just a quick little image with the people. I hope it. Let me. Oh, I gotta click this button. Turn it on.
Oh,
come on in. Yeah. This is. There she is.
Oh,
this is
yeah.
Still Stace. This is the book coming to you very, very soon. My gay Christian coming of age story.
Yeah.
I want to know, for people who are going to pick this up, what do you hope is like, you know, what's the takeaway that like, if you like, if there's like one thing people walk away with this, what do you think it needs to be?
Oh man. One thing. Well, I hope they like the art because I'm a perfectionist about that. And it took me a long time, but I hope that.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, just look at the material, Mama.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, it's a struggle as a perfectionist artist. It's tough to like your own work, but I am really happy with how it turned out. For the story, I hope that people will find themselves, even if they're not gay at all, even if they're not Christian at mm-hmm. all. I just hope that they'll find their own bravery, their own courage, their own authenticity, and mm-hmm. see how they can step into more of themselves. And mm. that's what I really, really hope for people when they come to the end. Like, how else yeah. can I be more of me so that I can be more of me for the world?
Yes. Come on now. I'm gonna tell you what, I fucking like you a lot, Stacey.
I love you, buddy.
I think you're really cool. I think you're like delicious and fun to talk to.
Oh, thanks.
And like, I've already got, I'm just like, wow, like, let me throw some ideas at you. Cause I
seriously,
Seriously. I'm ready for a collaboration station.
I was going to say, let's do something. We need, yes.
Let's, y'all didn't come to for our pitch meeting. So we'll end it now.
Right.
The thing I just like dig about hanging out with you and just what I've noticed so far is I the thing that I want for every single one of our like queer peers out here and queer fam is like, I tell people all the time, just like, the only thing I care about is keeping queer people alive.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I don't know what it is. Why I'm getting so sentimental.
But no, That's it.
I think about all these beautiful people out here from all ages who are either like young teens or young persons all the way up to like, I had a friend of mine who said, yeah, I just had a talk with a man who's 59 years old, just came out, is just now, you know, having to, you know, end his marriage. And it was a Pentecostal pastor.
Oh my word.
And so I'm just like, and he was like talking about, it's just like, yeah, like, I know it sounds dramatic, but I had to come out. Otherwise I wasn't going to be able to continue living. I'm just like, actually yes. that's the least dramatic thing.
No, that is just truth. And that is the thing. That's why, you know, when people say like, why do you have to tell your story? Why do you have to tell these details? And that is exactly it.
Yes.
Is because it people don't want to live because the struggle is so massive.
Yeah.
And it is important that we show that we exist and that you can be happy and you can be who you are and who God made you to be. And you
yes.
can live this life that you're given.
Yes.
You don't have to give up. And it is the most important thing. That's why
yeah.
I do hope that whoever needs it most gets yeah. it. Absolutely.
And that like that feeling right there to be, it's like your life is, you know, I had a friend of mine who like started thinking her like thing was like, you're so worth it. Like your life is so worth living.
Yeah.
Like, and like every, like, I will tell you, like, and like you and me both can like attest to it. Like you, like, you know, unfortunately so many of us have to give up things in order.
I know.
To be who we are. And I
yeah.
tell you what, I have gained so much more on the other side than I ever lost.
Absolutely.
And that's also, I think, just like, it's like, yeah, there are hard things. There are things that like you maybe have to let go of for a short time, but that doesn't mean that, I mean, as a good Christian, I believe in resurrection. So dead things come back to life all the time.
That's come right. And that's the thing too, that like I do touch on in the book is like you said, I don't think a lot of like straight people, Christians, whoever, recognize that there's so much grief in our journeys.
Yes.
Is that, you know, for me to come out, I embraced this massive peace and I felt so authentic in myself, but to do that, I had to then say, this is who I am in the world. And that means that the collateral damage is that if I want to get married, it means that my family won't be there. Mm-hmm. And so while I can celebrate the actual getting married, I still had to massively grieve the fact that my family wasn't there. And those are things that I think we as gay Christians a lot of times have to balance, like, how do we embrace that joy and mm. and then reconcile that grief that comes alongside it. And that's in a lot of our journeys, like having kids, it was a sort of similar thing. Like, people weren't happy about it. And
that's so crazy to me. Why are you mad at someone for having a baby?
I know. It's because when people think you're operating out of a place of sin, you don't want to infect those innocent children with that idea of, like, that's where they're operating from.
Innocent children. I'm like, well, you don't actually believe those children are innocent because you believe in original sin.
Exactly.
So you don't even believe that. Like,
yeah.
Girl, that's another thing too. That's another thing too. It's just like, that's all. We'll start a different podcast called Make It Make Sense for Me.
Yeah. Call me and back. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a list of things going.
Yeah. Just like our grievances with our family's faith.
Totally.
Jesus Christ.
Totally. But that's the thing, is like, I love connecting on those spaces of, like, we have this unspoken, like, connection where we know we have lost stuff. We have gone through stuff. Mm-hmm. And that sort of knowledge and shared history and shared connection is like so beautiful in this community.
That is something I love. It's just like, I always tell people, I'm just like, I have to end up with, I won't say I will end up with, like, some kind of, like, ex-evangelical weirdo, because just, like, we're out here. But, like, if most of my humor is, like, very niche and based in, like, weird, obscure Bible passages that no, like, yeah. I mean, I went on a date with a guy one time who had none of the baggage, none of the drama.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just make some random thing. I'm just like, ugh, yeah, that's a burning bush right there. And he's like, what? I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's really obvious.
Yeah. It's not as fun. I mean, it's just great to throw those in, right?
Yeah, I think so. Anyways, I don't want to keep you past time, and I just feel like this is a delicious place to, like, punctuate
yes.
it.
Yes.
So, the book is called Still Stace, my gay coming. I fucked up the thing. My
it's
gay
long.
Christian coming of age story. I'm like, my Christian gay coming of age story, or the other
it works
way around. Yeah, because there's no such thing as a gay Christian. So
right.
Please tell humans on the internet where they can connect with you, find your work, and get your book, etc.
Yes, the book is available sort of anywhere online, although I please encourage you go to your independent bookstores. They all need the business. And then online, like, my blog and everything, stacychomiak.com, and I'm on Instagram, ChomiakS, and my art is stacychomiakart. So I'd love to connect with anybody, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks you for being here. And the book comes out the October 22nd, correct?
19th.
October 19th. That's why we're going to put it out before that.
Amazing.
And that was my conversation with Stacey Chomiak. What a wonderful, powerful, delicious human. The book is called Still Stace. It's available wherever fine books are sold. Please go patronize your local feminist and or queer bookstore, or just local bookstore in general, as you can when you can, just because it really helps us out. And also please go review Still Stace if you've purchased it anywhere. Review it on Goodreads, review it on Amazon, and let people know, because it's really good for the first week of books to get those kind of reviews in. What else? How else can we support? You know, follow Stacey across social media. All those links are going to be in the show notes. And yeah, I think that's it. As per usual, this podcast is supported by the amazing Patreon community that I help curate, called The Crowded Table, a different kind of spiritual community. So if you are out here wanting to support the show, as well as invest in a community that is investing in new ways of practicing spirituality beyond, you know, typical Christian norms, maybe join up. It's on a sliding scale from $11 to $33 a month, and it helps support this show. It helps support the ministry, if you want to call it that, the work of creating more progressive faith spaces. So if you loved it, support it. That would be my wish. I love you very much. And I am now going to go to meet my trainer, who's going to kick my ass just a little bit, probably. Anyways, I love you. Have a great day. And until next time, everyone, take your meds, call your person, shake your ass a little bit, eat something delicious, rest when you're tired, and make sure your Do Not Disturb is on when you're recording a podcast. Bye, y'all.